We're not tired. You're not hungry. You've eaten well over the holidays. Santa Claus was good to you, right? Brought you a lot of good things. You enjoyed Christmas with your family, exchanged gifts. Well, there's one gift we want to talk about this morning. We've talked about Jesus Christ, the gift. But the gift brought a lot of gifts. And one gift that is so essential, that is absolutely necessary, is the Holy Spirit of God. So I guess the question is, when do you receive the Holy Spirit of God? Well, the Bible says, at the moment of salvation. Well, what is salvation? The Bible says salvation is believing in Jesus Christ. It is believing that Jesus Christ is God. It is believing that Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid your sin debt in full. It is believing that Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. All judgment actually has been given over to Him. He will judge every human being that will ever live. Is that correct? At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit moves into you. And once He moves into you, you cannot make Him move out. Because you did not move Him in. At the moment of salvation, He moved in to stay in you, the child of the living God. So the question is, why in the world do I need the Holy Spirit? Why is He absolutely necessary? Can I live the Christian life without paying any attention to the Holy Spirit? How often have you tried that? Well, a lot of us have as children of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of us unknowingly. A lot of us have done it because we have not dethroned ourselves from the throne. We have not learned that Jesus is King. We're not. Now that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been placed or moved into the kingdom of God. God the Father and God the Son are the kings of that kingdom. And now that we're in that kingdom, it's a supernatural kingdom. It's not natural at all because it has come from the living God. So we are saved by grace through faith to live in a kingdom that is supernatural. So it only reasons that we need supernatural ability, supernatural enablement, supernatural empowerment to live in that kingdom to carry out the will of the living God. Is the will of God supernatural or is it human? Well, it's supernatural. It has come from Him. So we need the work of the Holy Spirit inside us as God's children, so the will of God, what God wants, can be carried out, and God will be blessed, and we will be blessed. And others will be ministered to, as we are also ministered to, as we give away the things that God has given to us. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. It is truly a day of blessing and thanksgiving and adoration and praise unto the living God. We thank You for this season that we've had that is now behind us. We're moving out of and we're moving into a new year. And I pray that we that are here today, that You will open our spiritual ears that we may hear the spiritual word of God as to how we may live in a spiritual way in this spiritual kingdom that has been brought about by God Himself. How we are to live by the Holy Spirit. How we are to do all things under His leadership and empowerment. I pray even as Baptists, again we have a tendency to shy away from that and say, well, I know what to do, and I believe I can handle the Christian life myself. I'm sorry you have believed that untruth and that deception that has come about by Satan. We cannot live the Christian life in any way that is pleasing unto God without the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, thank you for that scripture, Lord. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled, be influenced, be motivated, be divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit. And you say that that is a command. It is an imperative. It is not an option. It is non-negotiable. So if we as your children, every day you allow us to get up, do not first pray, Heavenly Father, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. I ask to partner with Him this day for Him to lead me in everything that is done so your will be accomplished and you will be glorified and others will be blessed. If we're not willing to do that, that's a sin. Because Jesus says it's an imperative and a command. It's not a choice. I want to thank you for letting us know what you expect from us, so we may live our lives in partnership with the Holy Spirit, and we may call upon you in all things at all times. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take your printout, if you will, as we begin this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. We've already gone over most of this, but we'll begin with verses 17 and 18, Ephesians 6. And take the helmet of your salvation. Underline the word helmet. It is referring to the knowledge of your salvation. Take what the Bible says about your salvation, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the Rhema word. That's the word you have in your Bible, we call it. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific request at all times, on every occasion, and in every season. In the Spirit. Notice that's a capital S. It is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert. Underline the word alert and write this if you will. Alertness is needed, not panic. Alertness is needed, not panic. Stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. Now look at the title, if you will. The launching pad for supernatural power. Now that you're a Christian, do you live by human viewpoint or divine viewpoint? You live by divine viewpoint. And who enables you to live by divine viewpoint? It is the Holy Spirit. He divinely enables you. He divinely persuades you. He gives you the supernatural power to live in a supernatural way. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you underline Jesus Christ, and the love of God, underline God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, underline Holy Ghost. What did you just underline? The Holy Trinity. So there's the Holy Trinity. If someone says, I don't believe in the Holy Trinity, then you can turn to 2 Corinthians 13:14 and say, God does, and here's what He has to say in the Scripture. So when you talk about the grace of God, you're talking about God doing something for you that you cannot do for yourself. The grace of the Lord, the word Lord means your master, your boss, your king. Jesus Christ, and the love of God, notice it is the love. The word love here is agape love. It is love that God is, so it is a love that comes from God. The love of God and the communion, and the word communion means koinonia. It's already printed there in parentheses below that. And the koinonia of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now look at that word communion. What do you see at beside that in parentheses? It is the word koinonia in the Greek language. And if you break that down a little more, koinonia is defined as partnership. Now, who are you and I to partner with after we become children of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are to partnership not with a denomination, but we are to partnership with the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is supernatural. So why do we need God in our lives after we get saved? And why do we need that supernatural enablement and power in our lives? Because as I've already said, when you are saved, when you come to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, they place you or move you into the kingdom of God. It is a supernatural kingdom because it is set up by Him. We are to function in a supernatural way if we're going to be pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Am I talking about a human faith? No, I'm talking about a godly faith. The word faith, and when you talk about it, is a grace gift. It's not something you muster up. It's not something that comes from you. It is something that comes from God. So therefore, in salvation, grace comes and also faith. So God gives you what is needed to make a decision to go positive, turn your unbelief into belief in Jesus Christ, and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. All right? Notice number one under communion. Let's begin with the meaning of partnership. So go to your Bible. Take your Bible, if you will. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You say, Terry, this is kind of a weird number of verses, isn't it, to go and talk about partnership and also responsibility? Well, you're going to notice that Jesus Christ is going to call some guys to be His disciples. And they're going to have to learn how to partnership with Jesus Christ and also the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. So it's going to read just a little bit different from some of the versions that are out there. Verse 1, Luke 5. Now it happened, did it happen by accident? Or was it a result of the sovereignty or the providential hand of Almighty God? Now it happened that while Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding all around Him and listening to the Word of God, that He saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, it was a large one, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little distance from the shore. And he sat down and he began teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch of fish." Simon replied, "Master, we worked hard all night." Would you underline the word "we," please? "We worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion and caught nothing in our nets. But at your word," underline that phrase, "but at your word," which would be the word of God to us, the Rhema word, it's a spoken word. "But at your word, I will do as you say and lower the nets again." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were at the point of breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats with fish so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all his companions were completely astounded at the catch of fish which they had taken. Sounds like a bunch of Baptists, doesn't it? You see, this is like Baptists coming together in a prayer meeting and they're praying for someone to be healed, some prayer to be answered. And God answers a prayer. Somebody is healed. Somebody is blessed in a very great and gracious and supernatural way. And then they get up after the prayer meeting and say, I just don't understand how that could happen. Get ready if you ask for it. Because if it is according to God's will, He's going to answer and He's going to bring it about. Verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Go away from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all his companions were completely astounded at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. Jesus said to Simon, Have no fear. From now on you will be catching men alive. After they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him and following his example. You don't have this. This is extra. Lean back and listen. Keep your Bibles open, if you will. Would you go to verse 4? Let's look at that again. Verse 4. Put out into the deep water. Several things here. Number one, Jesus chooses not to minister all alone. When you were saved, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, they're all involved and always involved in your life as a child of God. They gave you the spiritual gift they wanted you to have and function in and minister in and glorify God in and through. So therefore, when you were saved, God was saying also, I'm going to gift you because I want to use you in the ministry. I'm not going to save people all by myself. I'm going to involve you. I'm going to lay on your heart because you're learning to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And you're now asking the Holy Spirit to lead you in this new day that I have given you to live. So therefore, I have chosen you. I have saved you. I have gifted you. And now you're going to learn how to partner with me and the Holy Spirit as I, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit work out the agenda, the plan of the living God that was established in eternity past. What was established in eternity past is non-negotiable. It is not going to change. It has already been predetermined. It was predetermined and set in stone in eternity past that Jesus Christ would be the Savior of mankind. That Jesus Christ would go to the cross. That Jesus Christ would be the only way to the Father. Again, it was established in eternity past that salvation would be a relationship with Jesus and also a relationship with God the Father. How many people today that are saved say, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus Christ, but mention nothing about having a relationship with the Heavenly Father? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. So salvation is not only a relationship with Jesus Christ. Salvation is a relationship with the Father. But you can't get to the Father unless you come to the Father through Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who is the Savior of man. And once again, that was established, non-negotiable, in eternity past. Jesus chooses not to minister all alone. He deliberately moves others into His work. Here's your knowledge of salvation. Do you know, according to the Bible, that after you get saved, the Holy Spirit is going to start moving in your life? He's going to start working in your life. He's going to start directing you in your life. He's going to put it in your mindset that is being reshaped by the Word of God. Now that you're a child of God, He is going to start working, so you will start moving into the work that God has chosen for you, that God has gifted you, so you will be successful in what He has called you and saved you to do. Jesus chooses not to minister all alone. Secondly, He deliberately moves others into this work. So what are you going to feel on the inside of you when you become a Christian? You're going to feel the Holy Spirit moving you to be involved in a ministry that He has already gifted you for. If you do that in the way He has gifted you, you're going to be spiritually successful. And God is going to be praised, God is going to be adored, and God is going to be glorified. And guess what? You are going to receive a joy that this world cannot give you in any way at all. Never, never, ever. Let's continue. Jesus could have rowed the boat. Is that correct? Jesus could have caught the fish. Is that correct? Did He? No. He wants you to experience the work. What is the work of Christianity? It is a labor of love. He wants you to experience that labor of love and joy. What is joy? Joy is J, Jesus first. O, others second. Y, yourself last. Isn't it amazing? On college campuses, a lot today, you have these liberal progressives, and it's all about them. It's all about that little daycare center that they come out of and say, you know what, life is all about me. And if I don't like something, I'm going to tear it down. Is that correct? I want to change it. Is that correct? There you go. They just need a good butt whooping. Here we go. Jesus could have rowed the boat. He could have caught the fish, but He didn't. He wants you to experience the work and joy of Christianity. Here's the second thing. Jesus will move you out of the safety of the scene. How many Christians are scared to death today when you move them out of what they can see, out of what they can feel, out of what they can humanly understand? Again, Christianity is all about what? Learning how to function way beyond your human mind. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Let me tell you something. Right there, you are being stretched beyond your human mind, your human understanding, your human thinking. And that is what God is going to do all your life. Continue to listen. Jesus will move you out of the safety of the scene to make you trust Him or partner with Him through the risk of the unseen. I got a question. Are you struggling with the risk of the unseen, the unfamiliar? Look at how Jesus and God bless the catching of the fish. Jesus is with Simon. He's with the fishermen. Do you see how the potential increased when Jesus was there among them? Is it greater today? Is Jesus not only among you, but is Jesus on the inside of you? When did Jesus step inside of you? At the moment of salvation, who moved Jesus inside you? The Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that moved Jesus into the womb of Mother Mary moved Jesus into you the moment you were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you. Jesus next reveals His objectives to those who are willing to relinquish their security to Him. How many of you would walk away from your fishing enterprise as Peter did? I've had some Christians say, well, he had a little boat. It was a really small thing that he did, catching fish. Why don't you study Peter? It was an enterprise. He had a whole lot of men working under him. When Peter was asked to follow and become a disciple of Christ, it wasn't leaving a small boat that was full of fish. He was leaving a fishing enterprise that fed the mouths of many. What enabled him to do that? Jesus called, He answered, and now, listen to this, the Holy Spirit begins working in the lives of those that are now called. We call it discipleship. He is teaching them how to partnership with Jesus and what was to follow. Put out into the deep water. It was the wrong time of day. You ever heard Baptists say that? We can't do this. It's the wrong time of the year. It's the wrong time of the month. We will not be successful. What carries more importance? The authority and word of God or your authority and your word? If you get this wrong, you got a big problem. Come see me in the office, okay? It was the wrong time of day. It was the wrong place, the wrong depth to catch fish. Yet, Peter obeyed. We'll get to that in a moment. Verse 5. We worked hard all night and we caught nothing. Here's the committee on committees. We had been meeting for months and we can't come up with anything because we can't all agree on what to do. Do we ever first get together as a committee and go to Jesus in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, control us, and ask the Holy Spirit to partner with us as we pray and as we ask Jesus what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, and how He wants to do it? Is this the house of God? Are you not the children of God? Do you not have the Word of God? So what's the problem? Have we not dethroned ourselves? Are we not happy and tickled and excited to have Jesus on the throne? Do you not want to partner with the Holy Spirit who is God, who is all-knowing, everywhere present, all-sufficient, all-powerful? Do you not want to partner with that? Or do you want to partner with another human being who is just as limited as you are in all things? I don't know about you, but I have within me, and I'm so happy I do. I'd be more of a fool than I am to have somebody in me that when Satan comes to me and wants to get involved in spiritual warfare, then I have someone who can whip his rear end, who can send him back where he came from with no problem. Do we understand that? Thank you. It was the wrong time of day. It was the wrong place, the wrong depth to catch fish. Yet Peter obeyed. We worked hard all night and caught nothing. Learn that Jesus has power over nature. Why do we not do what we should be doing as good old Baptist people, we call it? And I hate denomination. It's not in the Bible. Listen. Learn that Jesus has power over nature. If Jesus says, go out here and throw a hook out in that grass, you go out there and throw a hook out in that grass. And if he says, by the way, take the boat with you and sit in the boat while you throw the hook out in the grass, because you're going to bring in more fish than you've ever caught in your life. And what are you going to say? Well, from my experience. From my expertise, where I was educated, this is what I know, and I have been trained by other professionals. If you don't mind, Jesus, I think I've kind of got it here. I'm sure he has a sense of humor. Jesus does, don't he? Do you think your expertise is greater than his? Do you think your experience is greater than his? How often have you tried that? We all have. Learn that Jesus has power over nature. He has power over disease. Are we asked to pray for people who are diseased? I got news for you. We're all diseased because we're all sinners. The church is for sick people and we're all sick. It's a sin disease. I'm glad he has authority over disease and over sin. Can he rebuke sin? Can he take your sins away? Learn Jesus speaks with authority and acts with authority. Next, here's a slap at human effort. We've tried it. We got together. I can word this here so I don't get in trouble when I get home. I eat at the Red Dome. No surprise. And in the Red Dome, you hear all kinds of conversations. I love to listen to preachers talk at another table. I heard a preacher talking. He said, we need to get somebody that's real powerful. That'll draw them in. I'm sitting over there smiling to myself. I'm really wanting to get in on this conversation, but I said, it's not my call here. I want to say, when you get somebody real powerful, way more powerful than you are, and what you're saying is better than you are, then when he leaves, what are you going to do? Because evidently you didn't have in yourself to do what you were talking about. So when that supernatural power preacher leaves, which it ain't the preacher, it's the preacher that is there to open up the Word of God and preach the Word of God as God has given it. Amen? There's your authority. There's your power. That old supernatural preacher leaves, boy, and the church falls right back on its rear end because the old preacher's at there is admitting, I ain't got it. No, you ain't got it. God's got it. Learn how to use it. Here's a slap at human effort. Energy. We fished all night. Man, I'm worn out. Have you ever thought about when you actually do the work of God, it's not you producing the energy, it's the Holy Spirit in you producing supernatural energy. That's why you can go and get it done. So if you're doing work in the church and it's wearing you out, think about it. You doing the work, or is the Holy Spirit doing the work? It's a slap at human effort, a slap at energy, a slap at human merit and knowledge. These professional fishermen tried their best with no results. But Jesus' word, listen to this, Baptist. Listen to this.
But Jesus' word, the rhema word, the spoken word, the word of God that you have, but Jesus' word was overwhelmingly productive. Do what I tell you to do and I'll do the producing. Isn't that what he said? The word of God believed was productive. Jesus' authority overrides our experience and our expertise. So when somebody comes in here, and he did, and I won't tell you who he is. He said, when you introduce me, Terry, to your congregation, be sure you put doctor on the front of my name. Had you on that one, Danny. I said, doctor what? You? You got to have a doctor to stand up in front of God's people? I got a doctor. His name's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to hear what God has to say, don't you?
Yes.
Verse 6. They caught a large number of fish. Now this catch is the reward of obedience. Because they did what Jesus told them to do. Now you Gideons ought to know something about that. You pray and you hand out Bibles. Why do you pray? Okay. It's the Lord's work. And you'd love to have the Lord's what? Power. Yeah, there you go.
From experience, I know when we go out on our own strength, we fail.
When we go out on our own strength, we fail.
Yeah.
Even though you have the Bible in your hand.
There you
go. Okay. And when you minister to other people, you get ministered to. Is that correct? There you go. See, that's why you need to just go ahead and come and join church up here. Okay. Here's page 3. Jesus is the Lord of creation. Problem with that? He understands well the habits of fish. Does he understand the habits of people? Does he know when there's a group of people ready and there's a group of people not ready? All right. So do you think you might want to listen to him? Because you may be spending time with the wrong catch. They're not ready to be caught. You say, well, if I go over there and talk to them, it's going to happen. Uh-uh. You're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not what I tell you, right? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the
Word of God.
You sow the seed. You let Him water. You let Him grow. You pray for that seed that was sown right there. You share your testimony. You witness to them, right? Because salvation is a supernatural, spiritual thing. Is that correct? What did he say? You must be born from above.
Amen.
Is that correct? Thank you. Verse 11. They followed him. They followed him is actually a phrase for they became official disciples of Christ. They followed him. Please remember this. Peter left a fishing enterprise. Not a small boat. Not a little bit of fish. Somebody said, well, what about all those fish? Did he leave them to rot? Oh, no. I assure the other guys jumped right on in on that and took good care of it, don't you? If Jesus is king, you're not. You ever heard a husband say, this is my house, you do what I tell you to do? I got news for you. These American women just don't. If Jesus is king, you're not. You've been dethroned. Did you get that one?
Yeah.
You've been dethroned. There is no king and queen in your house. You are all servants of each other. I will say this, husband. You want to play the game of king? You better read your Bible first.
Amen.
Because the responsibility has been placed on your shoulder to lead. Lead your family in the way of God. And act like a child of God. And if you understand the word of God, king will never cross your lips in reference to you. If Jesus is king, you're not. It means yourself, what? Your submission, discipleship, and partnership. You can't lead your life any longer. How many Christians, just wondering, how many Christians would raise their hand and say, you know what, I'm saved, but I'm still living my life the way I used to live it. And you wonder why this stuff's not working? Listen closely. If Jesus is who He says He is, you either love Him or hate Him, which is exactly what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. This is no nice Christmas story you'll read in Matthew. This is a nasty conflict of kingdoms. Merry, merry Christmas. Let's go back to the printout. Very quickly. See what I got here. Okay. Go to the bottom of the page. Look at the word partners. Page one, printout. It refers to business partners. We've talked about that. Peter owned an entire fishing, what? Enterprise. And those men in the other boats were his business associates or his company partners. You got 2 Corinthians again at the bottom. And the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Page 2, we're going to go through this pretty quick. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When Jesus' earthly ministry was in operation, He and the Holy Spirit always worked together. Did you get that one? If you don't get it, you don't function. And I ain't jacking around with you. I love you guys, and that's why I want you to know. I don't want you to waste your time. I don't want you to waste your energy. That won't be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It was the Holy Spirit who moved Jesus into the womb of Mary. It's the Holy Spirit who moves Jesus into you. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have to be too. He was led by the Holy Spirit. So do you. Jesus healed people by the power of the Holy Spirit. If there's any healing done, it's not you with some magic formula. Okay? It's not Benny Hinn. Let me tell you something. If any healing gets done at all, God did it. We prayed, God answered. It was God's will for that to be done. And there is ultimate healing. Ultimate healing is this. I'm not going to heal the person down here on earth. I'm going to allow them to go through death because they're coming into my presence. That's ultimate healing. He cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice who's doing all this. How much of this have you tried to do yourself? In all honesty, just think about it. He was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places through the power of the Holy Spirit. Every time we see Jesus in the Gospels, He was working hand in hand with who? Can you do it any different? I can't hear you.
No.
He and the Holy Spirit were partners. In fact, Jesus even said He wouldn't initiate anything by Himself, indicating His total dependence on the Spirit of God. Here's a question, number one. If Jesus needed this kind of ongoing partnership with the Holy Spirit to accomplish His divine role, stop. What's one of the biggest problems we have as Christians? We're still trying to accomplish our role, our agenda, what we want to do. Is that correct? Is it biblically correct? No, it's not. So evidently, I haven't dethroned myself like I would like to yet. Let me tell you something. Don't feel bad. That's a process that will take your whole lifetime. Okay? Question. If Jesus needed this kind of ongoing partnership with the Holy Spirit to accomplish His divine role in the earth, do you think we need to do the same? Yeah. Number two, do you know the partnership of the Holy Spirit? You can answer that one yourself. Point. One, the Holy Spirit is there for you, but He needs your what? How do you cooperate? Ephesians 5:18. By what? Partnershipping with Him and obeying Him. Submission. But He needs your cooperation to partner with you. Since Jesus needed this partnership, we too have to have it. Number two, your spiritual life will not work unless it is plugged into Holy Spirit power. Isn't that amazing? I didn't say denominational. I hope you're really getting this, and I think you do. Because this is what creates an ever-deepening fellowship and a discipleship and a partnership right here. Number three, we are dependent creatures. You ever heard somebody say, I'm saved, I'm baptized, I don't need to go to church anymore? That's a lie straight out of hell. Satan just whispered in your ear and you took it all the way, hook, line, and sinker. We are dependent creatures, number three. We have not been designed to work on our own. Number four, the Holy Spirit is God's, there's that word again, supernatural gift to make experiential, alive, and real the new beings we have become. How new are you? The Holy Spirit is the heart and soul of a growing, flourishing Christian life. And if we don't get plugged into Him, we will stagnate and become stunted in our spiritual development. That's why Ephesians 5:18 is a command. That's why it's an imperative and not an option. He says every day you have to be plugged in to the Holy Spirit or you and I don't work together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for re-educating us, reshaping our mind by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit that is within us. I pray what You want from this body of believers, we ask that it be done and be revealed. So we will not waste our time and our effort doing things that don't need to be done right now or going in the wrong direction. But we will be in line with Your will by being in partnership with You. That we may fish where we are told to fish and do what we're told to do in Your power. That God's will truly be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.